Great news from Rocket Mortgage. You could unlock more cash than you realize from your home's equity with a cash-out refinance today. In fact, in the last year, average home values have gone up nearly 20%. That means you could unlock thousands of dollars. And with Rocket Mortgage, you could unlock all that cash in less than 3 weeks. But you've got to act right now before rates go up, because nobody knows how long these low rates will last. Put your hard-earned money to work. Make your life better. Build a home office, remodel your kitchen, or simply save that cash for a rainy day. Today's rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.25%, 3.48% APR, so you can lock in a great low monthly payment. When you're looking to unlock the cash in your home, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET today or go to rocketmortgage.com to get started. That's 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates current as of 12/12/21. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. MLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Call 800-490-1233 for disclosures and cost information.
Welcome to The Harvest, Atlanta's home for information and inspiration for living your season of life with grace. Brought to you by Senior Provisions, your resource for true solutions in senior care. From life planning to home care to assisted living, Senior Provisions is your trusted resource in navigating the harvest season of your life. Now, here's your hosts, Hans and Amy.
Good morning and welcome to The Harvest. We pray that today's show informs you, inspires you, and brings glory to our Lord and Savior. I am Hans, and I am seated next to my bride, Amy.
And this is where I say, amen. That's my new thing.
Is that? Okay.
That's my new thing.
I'm glad we have a new thing.
Absolutely. I think we said this last week, that is truly our prayer, and we do hope that you are joining us today. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If this is not your first time listening, then we welcome you back. How about that?
That's amazing. What dexterity of mind.
Oh, so what's been going on?
Well, I'm looking at our notes, and, you know, we like to pretend that some of this is extemporaneous. Most of it is, but this isn't. So I got to walk right into this. all the note says is taking tea these days. So I know what that means, and I don't want any part of it, so it's a little hard to participate in this little...
Okay, I will explain what that means.
It says taking tea these days.
Taking tea. This is our banter section of our show, and I was thinking, gosh, what's been going on?
What could be the worst thing and least engaging thing to talk about?
Oh, let me just tell you. So if you've been listening or you know me at all, you know that I love all things English shows, English... architecture.
No, there's
English accent.
There's not English architecture. I can correct you on that.
Says the architect. Yeah. And so lately, I've been, you know, definitely kind of minding what I've been eating, and so to substitute all the junk that I was eating, I have decided to start drinking some hot tea. Specifically green tea, which is really good for brain health and just antioxidants throughout the body, grabbing those free radicals, all of that.
All this sounds very normal until you talk about bringing out the tray, the not the tea kettle,
the silver tray.
And the what's the more formal name for it's not the tea kettle, what is it?
The teapot.
Thank you.
Porcelain teapot. And even the little tea stirrer that you put the loose tea in and then use it. Listen, I get this from my mom, and I have fought it for years. The formality, routine. What do they call that?
When it's the cucumber sandwiches show up, the little finger sandwiches and the biscuits, I'm just going to.
So I want to encourage you all, and this is something I did this weekend with my daughter when she came back from her mission trip. I said, well, you want to have tea with me? And she's like, yeah, who wouldn't? So we had tea, and it was lovely. And we got a chance to do some bonding and talking, and I was very thrilled. And it's very relaxing, and it keeps me from eating my feelings. So,
all right, the next one, I'm going to leave all to you.
Father's Day.
Yes.
Father's Day is just around the corner.
In the glow.
And I know this is podcasted, so ultimately it's airing Saturday, but it's podcasted. So, you know, if you're listening and it's December, you're going, what? But we, as we are recording right now, it is June, and we are coming up on Father's Day. And just want to make sure everyone knows and hopefully appreciates the men in your life, like I do, my my two dads. I have a father and I have a stepfather, and I have an incredible husband who's sitting right here next to me, and great daddy to our children. So
I agree.
Just be sure to, it's June 16th this year on Sunday.
Don't wake up that morning and discover
that it's Father's Day.
Have the breakfast in bed plan, have all the things bought, you know.
Wow.
The tray picked out, you know, all of those things.
Okay. I feel like I'm getting more of a demand than I am a record. You're like a desire. Okay, you got it. We're gonna be on vacation, so it'll be a nice day for you.
All right. So now we're done talking about tea. Let's talk about community events.
Yes. So we've got some great things going on in the community, and this is our turn, our time to spotlight any ministries that are going on in the Atlanta area. So if you are a faith community or a nonprofit organization and you've got some activities coming up, please send them to us. We would love to give you a shout out and some promotion. So first and foremost, we are so pleased to be partnered now with the Georgia chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And on June 21st, which happens to be the longest day of the year, it also is the day that has the most light. And on June 21st, the Alzheimer's Association of Georgia is asking for participants from across the world to come together to fight the darkness of Alzheimer's. And you can do this through choosing an activity, a sport, a craft. I saw one organization's doing a dance-a-thon that day and asking people to sponsor you or to contribute that day. So use your creativity, your passion to raise funds and awareness for the care and support of research through the Alzheimer's Association of Georgia. So June 21st, the longest day. And for more information on that, you can reach out to the alzheimers.org, alz.org website to learn more. And then we have a little announcement as Senior Provisions. As you know, our mission is to support the caregiver and to love on our families that are loving on their loved ones. And we have a new support group beginning the third Wednesday of the month. So that will be July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a caregiver support group. And it is co-facilitated by Senior Provisions, very own Mary Ellen Smith, and the Mansions at Gwinnett Park, which is a new independent and assisted living community out in Gwinnett, right near the Gwinnett Stripers.
Right next to it.
Yep. And Amy Staninsky is the community relations director there. And between she and Mary Ellen, did I say that properly?
You did.
They are going to be facilitating at North Metro Baptist Church the third Wednesday of the month from 10 to 11. So for more information, you can go to seniorprovisions.com and say, I heard something about a support group in Gwinnett. And we will get you connected. So that's all I have today.
Fantastic.
Yep. Well, and I'm just going to take a quick moment and say thank you, Senior Provisions, for all you do to help families. And if you have a senior care question, you can reach out to us at seniorprovisions.com.
We also want to thank Caring Man in a Van for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They are a trusted resource for transportation covering all of Greater Atlanta. To learn more about Caring Man in a Van, go to caringmaninavan.com.
You're going to love the ride. Love that. So let's get going with our show.
So let's get started with our show. We have a caller on the line. Good morning, and thank you for calling The Harvest. What is your name, and how can we help you?
Good morning. I'm Sherry. And my question is, my mom has moved into an assisted living, and so her monthly expenses have increased greatly. Mm-hmm. She's always been a faithful tither at church, and she wants to continue that, but now her resources are more limited. So I was just wondering, how do we handle that issue? What should we, you know, say to her about that?
Mm. That is a terrific question, Sherry. We love her heart, and that's amazing.
I was just thinking, we've had that question before, and it's a complicated one because it is very close to the heart. So Sherry, thank you so much for calling. This is Amy.
Hi.
Hey. And just wanted to ask you a couple of questions real quick. How old approximately is your mom, if she doesn't mind sharing her age?
No, she doesn't mind at all, and she's 95.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And she just, in the last couple of years, moved into assisted living?
Right.
Wow. That's tremendous. So up to the time when she moved into assisted living, was she attending like a church?
And how long has
she been attending?
Oh, very regularly, all of our lives. And so that's been a change as well, because she doesn't live near her home church any longer.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So there's a couple of things going on here but that is a wonderful question about tithing. And I think that it's one of those questions that I think we have to go to God's word. I mean, that's where Definitely. We like to go. And so I think we'll share some additional information about that. We're up against a break, and I'd love for you to hold on. We did a little too much banter at the beginning of the show.
Imagine that.
But I really want to dive into this and want to kind of give God's word some room to breathe and to stand on its own. So if you don't mind holding on, we're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Sherry about her mom's concern about tithing and church attendance now that she's at the prime age that she has moved into assisted living. And so, Sherry, do you mind holding on?
Not at all.
Okay, wonderful.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moment.
Do you know someone who is living with Parkinson's disease? Every 9 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The American Parkinson's Disease Association's Georgia chapter is here to help. Every day, they provide the support, education, and research that will help everyone impacted by Parkinson's disease live life to the fullest. For reliable information, local educational programs, and caring support groups, please visit apdaparkinson.org/Georgia or call 404-325-2020.
Caring man in a van. Companies open every day based on a need recognized. Hello, I'm Scott Chamberlain, owner of Caring Man in a Van, and my story is not different. I experienced transportation firsthand with my mother and found the service to be, well, let's say less than satisfactory. For the last 12 years, we've provided transportation for senior citizens and the disabled, offering wheelchair and stretcher transports with the quality and personal attention you would expect. We guarantee on-time service, clean, comfortable vans, certified drivers that are attentive to your needs, plus the promise you'll never experience transportation that is more enjoyable. Visit our website today at carryingmaninavan.com. Call toll-free 855-342-1566. That's 855-342-1566. You're going to love the ride.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We have an amazing topic to talk about today, brought to us by our caller, Sherry. She's asking about her mom at the age of 95 has transitioned into assisted living, and now her expense structure has drastically changed, but her heart hasn't, and she is struggling with the issue of tithing and how to respond to this new challenge of her financial condition and also honor God with tithes. So, Sherry, thank you so much for your call.
Sure.
Well, we took a quick break. And before that, we said, you know, let's go to God's word. And I was thinking, every time the pastor is going to do a sermon at our church on tithing, it's real quiet in the room. Is that the case for you too?
Right.
Well, I think it's because there are certain scriptures that are very clear about what it means to be part of the church. Hans?
Yeah, so I'd like to start in the Old Testament and then see how God moves that conversation along and how Jesus speaks into it with application in the New Testament. So Deuteronomy 16:17 talks about every man is to give as they are able, according to the blessings of the Lord God that he has given to you. So, and I want to stop and like talk about some of these scriptures and talk about what I think is important about them. I think this is where God speaks of his identity and tithing as a God of context. He's saying, give as you are able, according to the blessings of your Lord who has given all to you. It's a great foil. I heard a great sermon just a few months ago talking about tithing, and it turned it inside out and talked about God as God gives you 100% and he wants you to keep 90, and he asks for those 10% to come back. And
that's a great way to look at it. it's a really good way.
And then we continue on in Deuteronomy. And here's another great kind of lesson in tithing. When you finish paying all the tithe of your production of the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving it to the Levites, the sojourners, the fatherless, and the widows, so that they may eat within your towns and be filled. So I think this is really important in this context because it shows that God is a God of seasons, that he identifies our condition and our season that we're walking in, and he's giving the context of what those tithes are to do and who they are to come from.
I love that, that he is a God of seasons, and we talk about that on this show a lot, that mm-hmm. Sherry, we say that, you know, we're here to talk about things for this season of everyone's life, whether you're going through it with a parent or you're going through it specifically as a older adult yourself, that there is a season of life that you are in. I'm curious, what does the Old New Testament have to say about this? What did Jesus say?
Well, I want to go to a famous one that many people know, and that's it's illustrated in a couple different sections in the New Testament. But Luke 21:1-4 talks about the widow. Jesus looked up and saw the rich men putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in her 2 copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this widow has put in more than all of them. And they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on.
Mm.
And this is, I think, a really powerful scripture to talk about, that God is a God of multiplying, and that God looks at your heart condition and he sees what he's given you and sees what you've given back. And I can guarantee you that those 2 copper coins did more for the kingdom than all the riches of those men.
Mm-hmm. Well, 2 Corinthians also tells us that each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I think God is a God who looks at the condition of our heart, whether we're in a season of production or a season of receiving.
Right. This is so integral to the conversation. We got to see what God's word says about it. And I'm so grateful that God has a trove of guidance on how he sees this and gives us the proper orientation that all things come from him. But he is aware of our condition and of our context and our heart. And he also is a God that can do the greatest things with one.
Yes, absolutely. I think that he, I think when he talks about the early church and everyone bringing in an Acts and providing a percentage of what they've produced and what they've made, I mean, Sherry, think about it. That is for the women and the men and the orphans and the widows that can't produce for themselves. And so, it's kind of hard. And I hang out with older adults all the time, and they don't like to think of themselves in that season. They like to think of themselves as being productive. Let's talk for a second about the challenges of the season that she's in right now. I'm assuming that she's in 95. So at least for 20 to 30 years, she is well past an age where she can work productively. So she's living, she's been living on a fixed income, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know, but oftentimes with widows, they've nursed and cared for a spouse and have spent a lot of money on caring for a spouse at home.
Yes.
They have, sometimes they might live at home and then that home, even though it has great kind of potential value for selling, it also needs a lot of repairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned moving into assisted living. When that time comes for an individual, that's $3,000 to $5,000 a month. There's
mm-hmm.
cost of medication, equipment, medical expenses that occur from falls and colds and pneumonia and transportation needs. Is any of this ringing a bell for you?
Absolutely, yes.
You probably have spent more now than you ever or she ever imagined she would be spending. And I'm sure as a close family, you all are contributing just as much, aren't you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that those are the things that we have to consider, that she's in a season now that she's not necessarily producing. And you said it really great. You said, God,
me?
Yes, you did. You, Hans. he said, God's a God of math. And
yeah.
You're spending, you know, $3,000. Let's just go on the low end, $3,000 a month. And someone has a fixed Social Security or pension income of $2,500. That's a negative balance.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and also, I mean, just to kind of go back into God's word, I mean, God could have easily illustrated this and requested a much different kind of formula for tithing and giving back and supporting the spread of the gospel. And he could have just given out a flat monetary value that maybe translated generation over generation, but he didn't. It was always in response to how he's given to you, to whom much is given, much is required. He's always been a God of that mentality, of that proportion.
So let me ask you a question, Sherry. So your mom definitely has this on her heart. And you know, perhaps you might be dealing with those monthly expenses that we're talking about. What is her concern?
Well, you know, having been faithful to the Lord all these years, serving him in so many different ways and tithing and all, you know, I think she wants to be able to continue being obedient and honoring him in any way that she can.
Well, I think you hit a critical phrase there, in any way that she can. And I think, you know, we talked about the financial side of it and that, you know, she may be operating at a deficit or her net income is drastically reduced now that there's the expense of care created. So I think that's the season we want to move on into, is talking about, okay, how do we go on? How do we move further and still give to God's kingdom?
You mentioned, Sherry, that she's not been able to go to church. What have been some of the challenges of her attending church?
Well, as I said, her former church is like about an hour drive away. So what we've done is try to go every few months, or when they had like a special homecoming service or a special ladies' luncheon, things like that, and take her down so that she could fellowship with her friends and, you know, have that special time with them. But obviously that can't be a weekly thing anymore.
Right. And I imagine it's almost impossible or very, very difficult or anyone from her home church to come and visit her on any consistent, regular basis. Has that just been an impossible thing?
Right, because many of her friends are elderly as well, and driving an hour for them, you know, would be very difficult. So,
well, I definitely want to talk a little bit about, because what you're describing is so characteristic of so many of the families that we work with. And you know, there's some ways that she can continue to be obedient and serve the Lord. And we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, I want to dive into those a little more and really share some tangible things that you can take back to her today and say, Mom, you know, I know this has been on your heart. I know that here's some God's word. This is, you know, what Jesus was talking about. And here are some ways that were shared with me today. And you can even have her listen to this show, too. We'll make sure you get the link to this. And she can hear about some of the other ways that she can be obedient and bring glory to God, even in this season of her life. So would you mind holding on one more time for us?
Not at all.
Okay, well, we will be right back. Thank you for listening to The Harvest.
Ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby. If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far. Don't worry, baby. Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry, oh baby, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We're so glad you joined us today, and we're also very grateful for our caller, Sherry, who's presented a real heart challenge for her mom at 95 to talk about tithing and honoring God in her senior season of life. And it's a great topic to talk about, and it's even better to have someone at 95 that has that heart condition that wants to continue to see the Lord glorified. And we looked at God's word and talking about tithing, and that God is a God of proportion, and God that measures the gifts that he's bestowed upon you as a measure of what he receives back, and that he multiplies those tenfold. So Sherry, we're so grateful for this question. And I want to now move into kind of addressing ways in which we can plug her mom into things that feel and act as a way of honoring God.
We have something, Sherry, we have something at our church called the Prayer Planner. Does her church have any kind of like documentation of events going on? Is she on the mailing list?
Yes, she is. She gets a newsletter.
Awesome. What does she do with that?
Well, she likes to hang on to them.
That's great. Well, I mean, you feel connected. You know who's doing what, who's having a baby, who's having a birthday.
Right.
Those are awesome. So I would, you know, just encourage her to take one step more. And I've seen this with some of our older adults. They have like a big box of all occasion Christian cards. And, you know, whether she knows someone or not, I just remember when Hans lost his mom last year, we got cards from friends and family expressing their condolences. Some of the most heartfelt, loving
and healing,
encouraging words came from the older adults at our church that, number one, maybe knew of us, but didn't know us personally, never met his mom, but spoke such words of encouragement. And just, it was such a comfort to us to know that someone was praying and thinking of us during that time.
Well, and that kind of brings into this, I think that the shift that we can talk about now is that we're talking about giving, and we're talking about a financial giving. But let's talk about where God is still giving to her and where her resources lie. And I think, you know, you correct me, but, you know, she's got the gift of time. I mean, she's 95. She's living out a amazing life. She's got the gift of prayer. She's got the gift of encouragement, the gift of service, and the gift of teaching. You know, I think that is where her resource well is now. And I think it's abundant, and I think it's amazing, because, you know, as you're drawing a breath, God has a purpose for you. And I think these are the ways in which God has gifted her, and that she has those resources to give back. And I think note writing, being on the prayer team vicariously, you know, just get those communiques, whether it's email or however it is that she can be reached, or through you. You know, she could be told, hey, so-and-so is going in for a heart procedure. Someone's getting a hip replaced. Someone lost their longtime spouse. You know, these are the ways in which I think she could really feel an impact of serving God.
So when she gets that newsletter each week, her job, you know, that's her job. That's her, you know, empowering her and, you know, helping. You know, I know sometimes with arthritis, writing is hard. This is where, you know, someone maybe, you know, I always say when you're in an assisted living community, you have to kind of share resources. So if she's not able to write, or maybe someone's mom's not able to write anymore, maybe there is some memory loss. But I think having someone else kind of as almost like a blessing team, she could team up with another lady.
And, I like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, one day every week they share prayer requests and things going on at their faith community, or maybe even within their own family, or they may know someone else who's having, you know, a staff member who's having a difficult time or upcoming travel, and they can get together. And if one can write and one can put the thoughts together and one can actually write the words, then they've got a really good team. Or two or more are gathered. God.
Amen. That's a great idea.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and Sherry, you and I share an amazing connection that it sounds like we both had, have and had amazing mothers. And I think about one of the most impactful perspectives I ever got from my mom in her later age is she had a lot of struggles with her health that involved frequent hospital visits. And she viewed those visits where she was in crisis. She, you know, that they didn't quite know what was going on and had to figure it out and try to alleviate it. Her thought was, I get to go into this mission field of the hospital and I get to shine the light of Christ to them. And that's that's where God has her. You know, she was often, you know, relegated to living life at home. And I think she saw that as sort of like a mission trip. And it was amazing to see her perspective and her efforts while not feeling her best to be there and talk to, reach out to the nurses, reach out to the doctors, and shine the light of Christ on them and be an encouragement to them. Yeah, it was quite a life lesson.
It was a witness to us, as well as a witness to Hans's dad too. That through this crisis and this season of life, we can continue to do kingdom work. So, I just hope that some of these insights that we're sharing with you, that you feel like you can take them home and share them with your mom.
Oh, absolutely! It's been such a blessing to hear, you know, what God's Word says on these issues and you guys' advice. It's really helpful.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Well, hey, we are going to let you go, but we are going to continue our show. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about church attendance and how faith communities can create an environment that is senior friendly. And also when the senior can't come to church, how we can bring the church to them and be the hands and feet of Christ. So keep listening. And if you hold on, I also want to make sure that you are connected with a senior care advisor. If anything comes up over the next few months, I want you to know that you can count on us to be there for you.
Well, thank you so, so much. And yes, I will keep listening. That sounds beautiful.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sherry. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. You guys as well.
Thanks.
Well, this is great. I love that call and I love God's word. But let's go into that church attendance, in your senior years and the challenges that are faced in the church, context. And, let's try and breathe some light into this.
I mean, we're experiencing it firsthand with our faith community. We have such a beautiful church. I mean, not the building, I mean the people, you know, that little girl thing that, or little kid thing you did,
little kid, yeah.
Where you put your hands together and you open the church and see all the people.
Yep.
Yeah. And we have just a amazing group of older adults at our church. But here's some statistics I want to share with our listeners. There are 3.6 million homebound seniors. That's about 1 in 3 that cannot attend church. 30% of the body of Christ is not able to come into the church building, fellowship, corporately worship, hear God's teaching week in and week out. And many of these, just like Sherry's mom, were faithful attenders. I mean, what's the old saying? If the lights were on, they were at church.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, it's we got to see it from the other side, too, that that's an amazing resource. Like Sherry's mom's life following the Lord for 95 years is an amazing testimony to share with others, is an amazing opportunity for intergenerational ministry at work. And that part of it, I think we also need to focus on is, you know, these are people that have, you know, carried these stones of through their life of where God's shown up and helped them through challenge for all their life. And, you know, we need to hear that as middle-aged people and children and young adults. We need to have this church life more connected.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some definite physical and cognitive limitations. I mean, let's not, I mean, I'm just going to touch on them. I don't want to dwell too much because I think we all know, but I mean, number one, transportation's an issue. Mm-hmm. Many older adults are no longer driving, and transportation's an issue for church members. There's also a mobility issue. So if you can get someone who lives nearby to come pick up, it's that transferring in and out of a wheelchair, you know,
hearing, sight. You know, are there visual cues that they can follow along? Personal care issues. They may need to take a break mid or every third part of the service to, you know, to still stay in attendance.
Absolutely. You've got an issue of pain. They are dealing with chronic pain. That is, I mean, to sit through an hour service, Sunday school and an hour service, because they're coming for it all. Pain can really be an issue. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit, too, when we come back from break about the cognitive challenges. We've been discussing the ways now that a faith community can better accommodate the challenges of aging with their congregants and how we ultimately can bring the church to them. So either make accommodations or bring the church to them. You're listening to The Harvest, and this is Hans and Amy, and we are so glad that you are here. Please come back after break.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Support for The Harvest comes from Thrivent Financial. At Thrivent, we believe money is a tool, not a goal. For more than a century, Thrivent has helped Christians make financial decisions that reflect their values and help them be wise with money and live generously. More than 2 million Christians count on Thrivent to help strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Whether you're preparing for your financial future or responding to a sudden change, there are ways to proceed wisely. Local financial professionals can provide one-on-one guidance to help you. To learn more, contact Greg Bickhart, Jennifer Yankowski, Kelly Goldsmith, or Rodney Hill at 404-U-THRIVE. That's 404-884-7483 or email thriventseniorsolutions@thrivent.com. Thrivent Financial. Be wise with money.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We are so glad you're listening. We are tackling today the topic of tithing and church attendance in your senior years.
I love that. Well, this is a great topic. And I think for our listeners who are involved in ministry, involved in Stephen ministry, involved in lay ministry at their church, or let me just say this, you've got a neighbor who is an older adult, I hope you're listening. This information is so critical for application out in the community and in every bit, in every way. We were talking about some physical limitations of going to church, but there are also some cognitive limitations, too.
Definitely. There's just, you know, cognitive ability. As we get older, either through disease or just...
natural aging process.
Exactly. our sharpness, our cognitive abilities are become more and more impaired. So following along with the progression of the music ministry portion of the service and into the sermon, following along to what the main points are in the sermon are a challenge.
Yeah. I think attention span can be a challenge. If someone does have a dementia diagnosis, there is sometimes a need to kind of get up and transition and move into another environment or move on to another task. And, you know, you hardly want to cough in the middle of church, let alone get up in the middle of the pew and need to leave.
Right.
And that kind of leads us also to appropriateness. Sometimes there is hallucinations and delusions and things that happen with certain disease process, which make it a challenge for someone to be appropriate in kind of a public setting. So how can we meet their needs?
Right. I'm going to get to that question. Also, I want to go back to what I said to Sherry, our caller, and talking about how golden this season is as someone that's lived a long, rich life to share the ministry of God that she has with the younger generations. Now, on this side of it, I want to talk about how important it is for us to minister to those people that are in that season and their body is failing them. They're feeling lack of purpose. They're losing hope. We need to find ways of reaching them. And if it's not through shaping our attendance and we've done what we can for as long of a season for them to attend church, what do we do from there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the bottom line is that there is a need to continue to minister. This is a movement, actually, making church environment dementia and senior friendly. We talked a little bit about transportation and accessibility needs. It is not possible for an older adult who has mobility issues to, you know, it's a challenge enough to get them to church and to get them out in and out of the car, but then to walk all the way down the long hallway to the sanctuary. So allowing for reserved seating, reserved parking, a drop off zone right at the front of the church. I mean, it might mean that a deacon or an elder needs to stand and at the emergency exit that's right on the side door, you know, in case of an emergency, we all have to go out that way. Well, that might be the best way for a senior to get from point A to point B, the quickest and shortest and what's that, zero clearance?
Yep.
Zero clearance, no stairs. So then getting them into the sanctuary. So you have to think about that. And then
once they're in the sanctuary, how are we addressing challenges with sight and hearing? Do we have a location for them to sit up front where maybe things are, you know, the music is louder, the pastor's voice is louder? Do we have large format text Bibles for them to read along? Or what about our bulletins? Are they also in support of people with challenged sight? I want to go back to transportation because we're kind of always trying to refigure that out because every iteration doesn't seem to work. But, you know, we've kind of found that it really takes the greatest way of reaching those people is the family adopting a senior, and they identify that, you know, you live close to so-and-so, and as you're coming to church, you can pick them up and bring them, because the everyone getting on a bus means you're starting the bus drive at 6 o'clock in the morning for a 10:30 service.
Oh, yes.
To drive around town to pick up.
Seniors are not up. No.
So, you know, it just makes a lot more sense to identify the locations and pair them up and really have like an adoptive system and take them on as your grandparents for
Sundays. So this question came up at our church. So this is the first thing, like everyone's, oh, you know, we have people that need to come to church and we've got these buses that are sitting idle. So the first thing I said was, how many people and where do they live? So I kind of put the word out, you know, that our pastor calls it the whisper campaign. It's very effective that suddenly Amy Henschel has a transportation. I literally got a call and said, I understand that you have a bus ministry now.
All of a sudden we became another business and I know. We're in transportation.
I am not personally driving the bus, but what we're doing is trying to find out who needs a ride to church. And then our church is very spread out across Gwinnett County, member-wise. And so what deacon lives nearby? And then as a senior care advisor, my questions and concerns were, are they able to get in and out of,
right,
you know, the car? Are they a fall risk? Those are very important questions to ask.
And that goes part and parcel with, you know, where, if there's reserved seating, you know, where are we going to stack up? Where are we going to have walkers and canes so that they're accessible, they're easy to reach? And do we have staff identified, volunteer or whomever, that says, I'm going to watch for this person, and when it looks like they need to get up, I'm going to be there, Johnny on the spot, to preserve their dignity.
I don't know if I should say this on the radio, but we had the prostate parade. I always call it the prostate parade. That's I went there. We're not editing it. But let's just be honest, about it. An hour and a half is very difficult sometimes for folks not to need to get up and take care of their personal matters. So is there dedicated staff there? Maybe someone's having some pain and they need to get up and move and get into a different position because the pain is so intense. Those are the things that you want to think about. Now, I'm going to ask this. What if we can't meet their needs at church?
Right. And this is part of the conversation we've had with seniors talking about, you know, hey, we're going to reach out and we're going to be at that facility to pick up so-and-so. Do you want to come along? And they've identified that, you know, yes, they could ride along and they could probably get there, but, you know, they would not be comfortable with the pain or whatever it is they're challenged with to sit next to their friends and be comfortable. So what are we doing to bring church to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, you know, you have to look at your faith community and say, do we have an engaging, regular, active, homebound visitation program? And I'm just teed my own self up.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. We offer, as an organization, at no charge, homebound ministry training. We have done it multiple times all over Atlanta. You cannot ask people, it's not wise to ask people to volunteer to go out and visit an older adult at home or in a community and not equip them with ministry tools to make it an effective, engaging ministry. It can be frustrating for a volunteer. It can create burnout. And suddenly your six faithful volunteers have dwindled down to two, visiting 30 people. So I would encourage you to reach out to us about that training. We would love to come in and help support your homebound ministry. Another big thing we're doing at church is we're implementing a streaming
of the service. Yeah, it takes an investment in infrastructure, projection and, you know, recording mics and cameras. But we're dedicated to streaming our service to reach those members that are no longer able to attend. And I think it's going to be an amazing thing.
Well, we have been so grateful for Sherry's question. And gosh, I think we could do a whole nother show on this. We just touched on a few things. We would love for you to submit your question to us. If you have some senior care questions, some topics that are coming up, we'd love to talk to you on the air. It's pre-scheduled and, you know, no worries about that. We would just love to explore this because what your question is, other people are asking.
And we are also thankful for Thrivent Financial for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They help Christians be wise with their money while living generously. And you can contact them at 404-YOU-THRIVE. And we are so grateful for their support.
We are grateful for Senior Provisions' support as well. Senior Provisions is a faith-based, family-owned company, and our advisors will come out and guide you through senior care options. Our services are no cost to you, and you can reach us at seniorprovisions.com, or you can call us today at 888-979-8783. And if you have a ministry at your church, an event coming up, I know the one thing I hear over and over again is we don't have money for marketing. We don't have money for promotion. Well, listen, you have a partner in ministry, and that is the Harvest Radio Show. And we would love to have you on and spotlight your ministry. We have some upcoming shows that are going to be really exciting to hear more about some church ministries. We're going to sign off with Philippians 4:19 as we do. My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And folks, there is no greater provision than Christ Jesus himself. Have a great week, and God bless.